Hello and welcome to the Ham Radio Crash Course Podcast. We're back again explaining the world of ham radio to my wife. Come along and join us, won't you? Without further ado, let's get started. Hey, Leia, how are you this week?
I am good. We're on the 10th day of Christmas.
The 10th day of Christmas.
Like, I can't believe there's not an advent calendar of ham radios.
I know.
You know?
Yeah.
That's a real failure.
I feel like the retailers could do that pretty easily.
Yeah, just like for every band.
It's just...
And then all the accessories.
It's just an advent calendar full of coax adapters. And Anderson power poles. Oh, you don't know the wonderful world of Anderson power poles. So I'll have to show them to you and how amazing they are for ham radio operators.
I don't even know what you're talking about.
It's a plug for power. One's black, one's red.
Got that.
And it's really nice. They just get this really positive click when you click them together.
It's got like a real nice look to it. Looks like a...
Yeah, it's a little cube kind of thing. It's very satisfying when you crimp them and you shove the bare cables into the connector. They do this like satisfying click, and it's
okay.
An unmistakable click. You know that it's like done right when it clicks the way it does.
Okay.
They're just
like
joyful.
IKEA.
It's a joyful aspect of it. It brings me joy. Which is a term Leia understands.
So
really well.
So don't KonMari your Anderson power pole.
Never KonMari your Anderson power poles. Get yourself an Anderson crimper while you're at it for Christmas, or put that on your wish list too.
Needs to be an advent calendar item.
This is, yeah. Well, the crimper's huge. It wouldn't fit in an advent calendar.
I didn't say how big the advent calendar was going to be. Have you not seen the ones at the store that's like for hard seltzer?
So
it's just like,
yes,
it's
yeah,
big.
Yeah, it's huge. Works, I think it's Works, or it's one of the European tool companies that I have like a toolkit from. They have an advent calendar that when you're done, it's a full little mini toolkit.
What?
So cool. It's so smart. I'll post the link in the description. By the way, I'll also post a link in the description to my Amazon store. I have a whole bunch of lists that I've curated over the years now, and one of them is my gift ideas for hams.
Yeah, just either, like, link that to your loved ones.
You can link that to your loved ones, or if you are a ham and want to get something for another ham, they are items I highly recommend.
This just doesn't seem like something that should happen.
Give people the gift that isn't a Baofeng, because a lot of hams just buy Baofengs, which I'm not saying anything wrong with that per se, but there's more you can do with that. You know, and
I feel like when a ham gives a gift of a Baofeng, that's more of a gift to themselves, because now they have somebody else that they know that they can talk to.
Like, I finally got rid of another Baofeng, only 15 more to go.
No. I mean, it's like, okay, now finally I can talk to you on not a cell phone, right?
Yes. This is true.
Yeah.
Or a non-ham, like get your license is kind of what it's saying.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, I see what you're saying. I thought if a ham was buying another ham, a Baofeng.
Yeah. No, why would you do that?
Because they already have one. They already have one.
Yeah, what ham doesn't have a Baofeng? I want to know. Are you a ham without a Baofeng?
Yeah. Post in the comments.
Yeah.
You can't do that. But we'll talk later about how you can message us here on the show. Anyway, thanks for coming out again. Oh, wait, you didn't tell your story. Is that
it? Oh, yeah. Well, I'm actually writing an entire series of posts leading up to Christmas.
They're fantastic. You incorporated a stop motion day.
Yeah.
This video stop motion with the kids. You did it all with the kids.
Well, they actually came up with it. The title
really?
Of their stop motion was Good Ends in Chaos, a movie about 2020.
Wow.
So it starts out. Well, Ben does the voiceover.
He did, yeah.
Yeah.
And it was very depressing.
Yeah. He literally says, it starts out good and ends in chaos. It's amazing.
What does he say at the
end? It starts out with Vision.
Vision from
and he builds a mag former kind of thing. And then suddenly Vision ends up upside down in the mag former,
yeah.
And then two cars hit him.
Yeah.
Right? And then he goes crazy and he like knocks down the structure, and then suddenly everything is just falling down.
And it's about as effective as he was in Infinity War.
Yeah. And then the last is there is a Christmas lantern. It's like a snow globe lantern.
Mm-hmm.
And it says Merry Christmas, and then the lantern falls over.
It's pretty good. But you have a couple of them. You did haircuts, and you did the gingerbread house that we built.
Yes, and then the destruction of the gingerbread house.
The you did like a day-by-day progression of how...
No, it was just 2 days.
2 days, but yeah. By the second day, the kids had fully like decimated.
Yeah, it was like everything is devolved into a civil war, villager against villager, brother against brother.
It was like send Smarties and something yeah. else to help us rebuild. It was yeah. That was fantastic. Very nicely done.
You can actually search Leia Nass on Facebook. I think I made my Christmas days public.
Okay. So you can see that if you are so inclined. Well, yeah, everybody, thanks again for joining us out here on the Ham Radio Crash Course Podcast. We like to kick this off with the Ham Radio Minute.
Never a minute.
So never a minute.
Never rebrand.
This one's actually going to be, I think, pretty short. I think I'm getting
closer. I'm going to time it then. Oh, okay, let's start on this.
Okay. So this minute is going to be get outside. Just simply get outside with your radio.
Like right now?
Yeah, go. Just go.
I should just stop just go.
Take
podcast?
The radio, though. Yeah. Take the radio.
But like the mic is hooked up to everything. To go without the mic.
No. You got to stay. So never mind. This is for other people, I guess. So start my time over again. So get outside with radio. And there's a couple of reasons for that. And it kind of goes back to what we talked about last week where people can't hear you.
Yes.
Going outside allows you to get away from the noise, get away from the obstructions, get to the point that your signal can get out further. And that works as well with VHF, UHF as it does with HF radio. So simply get outside. Also, it's a lot of fun.
So if you went outside... You wouldn't get the interference
from
the touch lamp?
I'm calling it 60 there. I'm calling that a minute. That was my minute, by the way. We can keep talking
It was less than a minute.
See?
Actually,
okay.
Done. Now you're under-delivering. Yeah, you have previously over-delivered.
Right.
Yeah.
I just can't dial it in.
No concept of time.
No.
Just
no
like Edison, who's like, do you remember the far day yesterday? And he means like a year ago.
He's four. Yeah.
And the way that he told you today, he didn't have vitamins today, but in fact, he had some this morning.
Right.
Because he has no concept of when a day ends and begins.
Yes. Well, that's thanks to COVID and all the associated fun with that. The children never leave the house. Well, they do, but, you know, rarely.
We went outside today.
When they got sick, though, we didn't let them really go out.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Does that mean if you go outside that the touch lamp will no longer be a problem?
It would be less of a problem, yeah. I get a lot of comments on that, by the way, in the last podcast.
Touch lamp.
That's like, oh, man, it's Judas. It's the worst thing you can do to bring into the home. It's like it's just so bad. It's still, I wake up
thinking about it.
Flop sweat. Touch lamp. Turn it off. Unplug it.
I have such pleasant dreams of the touch lamp. God. I'm like, oh, this variable light level.
It makes daylight.
Fights seasonal depressive disorder. Mm.
So if we lived in Alaska and we were snowed in for any portion of time, we would mimic the circadian rhythm of the day.
Yeah, it helps wake Ben up in the morning, get ready for school.
Well, that's true. So, okay, I think I'm going to take that as a pass, a solid pass on the Ham Radio Minute.
Oh, no. That's not a pass.
Okay. Oh, because I wasn't a minute.
Yeah, you've got to hit the minute.
Okay. We'll keep working on it.
Maybe workshop a little bit.
Thanks for holding me. I got to get in front of the mirror, do like a tight 60. You know, I'm not a stand-up comic, so that'd be like a tight 5, right? So you got to have like a tight 60. So,
yeah.
Well, let's talk about your reviews, all you listening. You sent us reviews on iTunes, and we like to read them on the show. As always, 5-star reviews are appreciated.
Yeah.
We really do.
Five stars are our favorite.
They're our favorite. But we also really like to just read your comments, and we got some really, really, really good ones. So I'll just start it off with, like listening while at work, and that's from Uno676.
Reverse card.
That's right. Draw four. 4 reviews. Go. I have to say, you guys crack me up. Josh, you got me back in ham radio in March during the human malware epidemic.
Where do people go away from ham radio?
I don't know. Like, what do you do? That's all you got, man. Bringing communities back together through ham radio. I can't talk to the people I live with because they're everywhere. I can't get away from them because I can't leave the house.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So I need to talk to strangers.
I actually do feel that's one of the reasons that ham radio has done so well in pandemic.
Totally.
Because it actually makes you feel like you have like novelty every day and you're meeting new people every day.
Totally random. Yeah, could be.
And you're also like,
well, you get both. You
traveling could have, the world.
Right. You could have consistent communication with people that you want to, or you can have just complete random communication.
Yeah. It's, I mean, I feel like the old school party lines must have really brought communities together.
Yeah, all those biddies that would just listen and they wouldn't say anything. They'd cover the mic and just sit there listening for gossip.
But in this case, there are a lot of biddies.
And they're dudes. Yes. And they're listening on the radio. That's right. So he says, your antenna cast was great. He's talking about my live stream. Thank you very much. I have started dabbling in making my own because of you and other YouTubers I have found through your channel. I like the propagate into my QTH shirt idea, by the way.
Okay,
so very good. That's from W0WAL. So thank you very much.
Thank you for that, Uno.
Brilliant humor, also some ham radio stuff by McGarvey or M.
Does that
Garvey.
Make you sad? Does
no,
that
not
make
at all.
You sad a little bit that no. like your ham have, radio podcast I is do not.
An, I do an hour long live stream every
it's,
week.
This is also your problem.
I put in a ton of effort putting the show together. I spend days in some cases putting things together.
Yeah, every day you be ham radioing.
And then I do an after chat for many hours. And we try to
my
cover
dismay.
Everything. So I'm going to have a little fun on the podcast. I'm going to keep it light, okay? If you want more of the in-depth stuff, go watch the channel.
That's like everybody who complains on the live streams
it's
that you
long.
Don't get to the point.
It's a live stream. It's nonstop points. It's all I've got is points.
And then your comment, your response is always, I post a standalone video every week.
I post a standalone short form video once a week, and I do a live stream once a week.
Yeah.
That's it.
But I have to say, for the ham radio community, I feel like your live stream is a weekly meeting place.
Absolutely. It's like having a beer with your buddies.
Yeah, exactly.
That's exactly how I treat it. Now, I appreciate that not everybody drinks beer, you know, whatever. But, you know, we're just hanging out, right? That's a common term for just, like, hanging out.
Yeah.
And that's how I like to treat it. It should be fun. It should be light.
It's just like a room of your 500 of your friends.
I've been in rooms where we are doing, you know, engineering stuff, super complicated engineering stuff, and we're having a blast. We're just having fun. We're cracking jokes, all kinds of stuff, because it can be fun.
Yeah.
It should be fun. Mm-hmm. It doesn't have to be stodgy and difficult. And by the way, the difficult part is the fun part when you look back at it.
Well, that's, you know, what's really interesting is that the amount of people that kind of congregate during the live streams are probably some of the smartest people on the internet.
Probably, right?
You know, you've just got like this massive brain trust.
In many aspects, even beyond even ham radio, I would say.
Yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely. So only smart people watch my channel, is what we're saying. That's right. The smartest people. Watch the ham radio crash course.
Well, everybody's pretty respectful, and if they aren't, they get booted pretty quickly.
I open up a Zoom chat at the end of the show.
I know. Don't encourage people to Zoom bomb you. You're going to need a moderator to like control who you let in.
Yeah. Well.
Jinxed yourself.
I did. That's my bad. So M. Garvey writes, I discovered this podcast after what can only be described as binge YouTubing Josh's HRCC video over the past month. I can say very firmly that Josh's videos are the reason I decided to get my technician license and kept me studying to get my general as well at the same time, which is that's exactly what we recommend. Good job. Get that general right up front. But this podcast is truly the icing on the cake.
Nice.
At a time when we all need some levity, discovering the genius of Leia and Josh interacting about all things, mostly not even remotely related to amateur radio, is absolutely a gift to the world.
Wow. Wow.
I know, right?
I'm like turning pink.
She's
like,
getting
I'm so
flattered.
I'm
getting flicklamped. I listened to episode 66 while walking my dog. My neighbors must believe I've lost my mind, having seen me walking down the road and busting out in laughter at random. Keep doing what you're doing. I'm learning a bit and enjoying every minute of your fabulous work. From Mark KI5 MBP. Very good.
It's like a running theme. MBP. You don't learn much.
Hey, MBP. That's what we abbreviate the MacBook Pro.
Oh, MBP. I thought it was megabits per second.
That's good.
Oh, MBPS.
Megabits. Yeah, okay. Yeah. All right, we'll go with that. Informative and entertaining from Levi or Levy G. I've been looking for... I've been looking for a way to learn about radio. It's a challenge to find a space to learn and not be worried about making noob mistakes. You guys, being as welcoming as you are amazing. And aww, thanks for answering my questions about the Anytone 878 being a good, bad first radio. And then he puts, then he quoted it on Instagram. By the way, the majority of the questions that I get from people are generally on Instagram now. I get
really
so many questions on
Instagram. Well, you did that one Instagram.
Oh, I'm not even talking about the question answer thing I did on stories. Like just a ton of questions. Just a ton. I don't quite understand your answer, but this might be a good topic for the podcast. Thanks again. So I have to go back and look. I answer that way a lot of the time when somebody asks. I've gotten that question a lot. Is the Anytone 878 a good radio? Mm-hmm. Good, bad,
why don't first you just short-term answer it right now?
So the short-term answer is it is a DMR radio, right? It is probably one of the more expensive DMR radios. And all DMR radios suffer from a difficulty in programming them, mm-hmm, much more so than an analog radio. But at the same time, that is one of the best showings in the DMR space, and it probably has some of the best programming software for it. So I generally say, if you are new to ham radio and you are not computer savvy, mm-hmm, and tech inclined, then maybe go with something else to start and maybe pick up a DMR radio as your second radio.
Hmm.
Now, that gets subtracted completely if you are in an area or a club where there's a heavy DMR involvement, and you can just talk to somebody about how to get it up and running. So that's generally what I say about that.
I also want to say this. If my repeated ham radio test failures makes anybody feel much better about what they don't understand on the test, mm-hmm, that makes me feel much better about failing. So thank you.
And even I get questions wrong when you're taking it.
Yeah, so embarrassing for you.
Oh my God, I'm an extra. If we make ham radio about like propping people up, mm-hmm, then it's going to fail. It has to, right?
Yeah.
Like it cannot sustain under its own weight of pomposity, right? It should be fun. It's supposed to be fun, and we're going to make mistakes. You know, why do I recommend getting an ARRL handbook? Why do I recommend watching videos on YouTube and reading books and learning things? It's because like you're going to forget things. And you're going to go back to those handbooks, those things, mm-hmm, that you have in your life to figure those things out. I don't think knowledge is best demonstrated by what you can remember in rote form,
mm-hmm,
right? It's more an example of how you put things together. And when you reach a point where you thought this was right and it wasn't, you know where to go look it up.
This is why you hate virtual schooling the kids.
Why?
Because you hate them having to learn the rote knowledge.
Yeah, I do.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, we don't have to go any deeper on that one. We can just leave it. Great episode. Turning my radio on and scanning. That's the comment from KD9TOB. And so that was the title goes with the body. So
it's a continuation.
Yeah,
okay.
Great episode. Turning my radio on and scanning. Also, I'm going to have to build my own straw goat.
We are doing that. I have the straw.
I have
it's
a bow.
Soaking right now.
I have a bow, and I have fire. Quick question. I have been working on setting up a couple of antennas for HF behind my house.
And yes,
people
you
are turning
can
the reviews
attach
into questions now, which is hilarious to me.
Then the answer is you can attach your guy line to a bow and shoot it into a tree.
Yes,
in fact, can do that.
If that's where he may be going that way. So a couple of antennas for HF behind my house within reasonable coax reach. And my PVC tower, we'll talk about that, is about 12 feet high and from the back of the house, 18 feet higher, so 18 feet or so high. It's a two-story house with a steel roof. Should I expect to be blocked from sending or receiving in that direction because of the roof? Thanks for the weekly information and entertainment. From Michael, KD9TOB. Michael, it is entirely possible. It is entirely possible that the roof will affect your signal. The best thing I can do, and so that means like that side, you know, where the antenna is facing that side, mm-hmm. is kind of going to be blocked out.
Sure.
Possibly. Not necessarily. If the antenna is above the roof line, should be fine.
Okay.
Generally. Now, the best way to test that is run a mode, because you said HF antenna, run a mode like Whisper and let it run, you know, put out 5 watts of power and let it run for like 12, for a while.
I thought you were going to tell Michael to get a new roof.
Yeah. And that'll give you a really good idea really quickly, like if you're getting out in that direction. And then you can do the reverse. You can receive, right? And doing the receive side of it, you can see if you're getting in signals from that direction, which would also help. So try that. A house is a giant purse.
Oh, no.
And this is from Denny Thyself. Never a dull moment. Lively chat helps me stay on the road. I can't listen to death metal all the time. HRCC motivated me to finally get my license. I listened to an audiobook twice and tested a couple weeks later and passed my tech.
So wow, congratulations.
Thanks and keep up the good work from KN6IIW. Very good. Thank you. Okay. Really loving Leia's assistant.
Oh.
From Tom Butner.
Okay.
Just all one word, no spacing.
Got it.
I've been a radio operator professionally for about a decade. And when I finally decided to get my ticket, I used HRCC daily for ham culture, tech, and general class review.
Wow.
And just learning the language that is ham radio. This podcast has replaced time I used to spend listening to JRE. Oh,
Joe
wow.
Rogan Experience.
Wow.
Take that, Joe Rogan.
Take that, Joe Rogan. He's off of YouTube. Did you hear about that?
No, what happened?
His channel's gone. He removed all his videos.
Oh, he removed it or YouTube removed it?
No, Spotify removed it, basically, because he's got his deal with Spotify. So everything is gone. Everything.
Is he still with Spotify? Spotify?
Yeah.
Spotify.
Spotify. They gave him a huge check and he went, yeet, I guess, is what.
Why? Because of his content?
No, because Spotify doesn't want people watching the Joe Rogan Experience on YouTube. They want them to listen to Spotify. So it all moved to Spotify.
Wow.
Gone. The YouTube stuff, gone. Gone. Yeah, it's gone. It's nuts. But by the way, I take that as a massive compliment. Thank you very much. And other big name podcasters, because I'd rather listen to Josh and Leia giggle after a box of wine than hear about why the world is burning around me. That's great. Thanks for the inspiration. And dear God, never stop doing what you're doing. 7-3 from KD2UUU.
Thank
That's
you.
Tom.
That is so
Thank you,
nice.
Tom. I appreciate that.
But we
that.
Do also sometimes talk about how the world is burning.
Yeah, we did that one. We saved that for the very end of the episode.
Yeah.
See, that's an interesting way of doing it. Instead of like hitting you with the hard news right up front, we just kind of...
But does everybody know how bad it is in California?
Oh my gosh, California, particularly where we live. Los Angeles County is
Yeah, and
insane.
We're right on the border of Orange County. Actually, our closest hospital is actually an Orange County hospital. And they are at like 3% ICU capacity today.
That's insane.
I can't... I mean, I guess it's better than zero.
That's you. Always looking at the positive side. You're just a ray of sunshine positivity. Leia, it is time. How many emails did we get? By the way, this is the time where your emails.
I think we got 9.
Wow.
Yeah. Thank you guys so much. I love the communication. It makes me feel like we're not just... Like, you know how sometimes when you're on Twitter... It feels like you're just yelling into a black hole.
Or yelling at another person.
In the black hole.
Adjacent to the black hole.
Yeah.
Black hole adjacent.
But it's really nice when we get the interaction and to know that like people are listening, enjoying, you know. As I always say, it's a conversation, right? So the... This first email is really funny.
It's, by the way, Leia doesn't read these really. I mean, she does read them throughout the week, but ones that she thinks are for the show, she doesn't read them until like literally moments before we click record. And she opened up the iPad and she started laughing. So I can only imagine what this is going to be.
So this one is from longtime show interactor.
Contributor.
Okay. And he's also on like every live stream of yours. It's Jeeper Creeper.
All right, Dave. On.
Okay. The title is Sales Promo.
Uh-oh.
And it goes, Leia, how about you try offering a free used touch lamp with the purchase of a used hex beam?
Yes.
We are not getting rid of the touch lamp.
Then can I put the hex beam on top of the step IR?
No.
Why not? I've got it.
I don't think the city will let you, so. Haha, got you there.
Gotcha, city.
Also, how much for the goat?
Pre-burnt or burnt?
Because the kids are going to burn it. They were not excited about the concept of making the Yule goat. Yeah,
you were like, we're going to make a goat out of straw. And they're like,
why?
What? And they're like, and then we're going to try and burn it. And they're like,
yeah, let's make it. How do I get it? How do I?
They were so excited.
Yes.
Like, we're going to try to prevent it from burning and then try and burn it. And like, I'm down for the last part.
And so now you kind of get what's happening with that bigger Yule goat. It's like they're building it to fight the battle.
It is one of the best Wikipedia stories I've ever seen in my life. It is. Somebody sent me something else that is completely ludicrous. I started getting all these crazy Wikipedia articles from people after the Yule goat. And they are all so good.
You know what? I'm going to video us trying to burn down our little Yule goat, okay?
I saw how much straw you have, and it is not enough to make an appreciably sized goat.
Oh, so you don't think it'll catch on fire?
No, of course it'll catch on fire, but there's going to be small. It's not going to be, like, impressively burning.
What if I film it in stop motion?
Slow speed?
No, stop motion. That's what I have.
What are you going to do? You're going to reposition the burning goat for every shot?
That is our video production capability right now.
Whatever the best iPhone is, you can do slow-mo.
Okay. So again, the capability, it's kind of like the ICU. It's not that you don't have the beds, right? You just don't have enough experience.
You don't have enough straw. In the ICU. That's our problem. There's not enough straw.
But the straw is actually soaking in water right now, so it can be manipulated. So we're going to try to burn wet straw. It's not going to work.
Okay.
Eventually, it'll dry. I have a feeling the kids are just going to try every day until it happens.
I'm assuming the kids are trying by asking you to light the thing on fire. Not like,
sure.
Oh, kid, here's a book of matches. Go nuts. And Edison, here's a whole bottle of vitamins.
I don't even know how you let him eat a whole bottle. I was in a meeting for 2 hours.
I didn't know it was the unused bottle. Plus, they're gummies. They're irresistible.
If they had iron in them, we would have had to go to the ER.
I appreciate that.
And I don't
that.
Know if
he
you
told
know
me
this.
He had 10.
I don't know if you know this, but there's no room for us there.
I've got a really, like, very high-powered magnet. We'll get this iron out of him, lickety split.
Luckily.
Also, thanks to my ham radio skills, I can build an electromagnet. Wow. He could become like Tony Stark. We put a little electromagnet right in his chest to draw the iron out of his body.
I'm not entirely sure that eating a whole bottle of vitamins doesn't already turn him into a superhero. Like tomorrow, he may be too strong for me to stop.
Hello, Father. I've attained the power of lightning. Hand me Mjolnir. And I need a whole flat of vitamins.
Okay, so thank you so much, Dave, a.k.a. Jeeper Creeper, for the suggestion on the touch lamp and hex beam.
I like it.
The next one is also from a regular contributor. Mm-hmm. Band plan coffee/beer coaster.
Oh.
I did not think people wanted beer coasters.
Everybody, hams. We're sitting in front of a radio.
Okay.
Can we do coasters?
Yeah, we can. I think I actually looked into it. Let me read the email and then I'm going
to get
into
it. I mean, we obviously can't like use the band plan from the ARRL or whatever, but we could make like a comedic band plan.
Yeah, and like the squiggly lines?
Like not even a straight line?
Yeah, just a square. No, like the, you know how the line drawings are like a little bit squiggly because it looks like they're hand drawn.
Yeah.
Hi, Leia. This is from Kim Carey. Hi, Leia. My wife, Casey.
Also active on the stream?
Yes. That's what I'm saying.
Oh, okay.
I'm saying just like overall.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Hi, Leia. My wife, KC6CLC, and I. Oh, his wife is a ham.
Hey.
I just put that together. I'm just, so everybody knows, I am super tired, so much so that in a meeting.
She's shaking. Her hands are shaking.
I had a meeting just before we filmed the podcast. It's for a board I'm on. And it was a 2-hour meeting. And at the beginning of the meeting, I'm typing the word unanimous fine. Midway through the meeting, I am misspelling it multiple times, but I'm screen sharing. Nice. So people are watching me misspell unanimous over and over again. So that's where I am mentally right now.
Very good.
Just not very fast on the uptake. Okay, so my wife, KC6CLC, and I enjoy listening to the podcast. Say, what about a beer/coffee coaster with a band plan? You could do license frequency limits for the big five or a set of 12 coasters with a band each and more detail. Maybe a mouse mat. Prompted by a complaint from an extra and 6DNM about generals operating in the extra space. Cheers.
These are great ideas. And it's so obvious, right? Like that's, yeah, what a great idea.
If I do this, Kim, you're going to get a set. I have a feeling, though, because I think I did look into this, and I don't know how much coasters are supposed to cost, but when I, like, priced them, I thought they were too expensive.
What are these, unobtainium?
Yeah.
Is Superman etching these?
Yeah, like, once they're, like, fully produced, I didn't think anybody would pay that much for them.
Sure.
Yeah. So.
And also, that might be part of the reason why we don't see them very often. I feel like I haven't seen that.
Coasters?
Yeah, I would assume that. So, guys, we're not new to the ham radio world. I'm sorry, I take that back. We are new in the sense, like, doing the podcast and all that stuff. There are companies that have been out for decades.
Yeah, we are new. I don't have my license,
I mean,
Josh.
I am not new to ham radio, but doing all the socials, right?
Yeah.
Definitely new. But, like, companies have been out there for decades, and I don't think I've really seen any of that kind of swag.
Yeah,
that seems like a slam dunk swag item.
You mean, well, swag isn't stuff we all get for
yeah
free.
Like if you go to a show, like they're handing out hats, a lot of hats.
Give out coasters, but
with the band plan on it though, like ICOM has a really nice band plan. They could turn that into a mouse pad like super easy.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, so that's what I'm wondering. It's probably kind of
cost prohibitive. I mean, we do like very small production amounts, right?
Right.
Like the products that we provide on Ham Tactical are like you order it, then they produce it.
HamTactical.com, by the way. Yes.
Yeah. I just don't know how well they can do that with coasters.
Yeah, it's probably not like. Which seems kind of ridiculous because it's a flat surface. It's easy to print on.
Yeah, but you know what? You guys tell me. Do you want coasters? And also, what is the most, like, reasonable price you think you would buy a coaster for?
I'm assuming it can't be, like, under, like, $11 for, like, one or two coasters, maybe.
But even I don't that, like, know. Wait, I just,
is that, like, people will pay that? I don't know, right? For a coaster? Would you pay $11
for a coaster? You put your cup on it. I just don't. Especially when, like, breweries give coasters away for free.
Oh, yeah. And I have a stack of those suckers.
Yeah.
We pick those up every time we go to a brewery.
Oh, the coasters wouldn't be paper coasters.
No, these would be legit. Yeah.
But still, I just felt like putting something on Ham Tactical where people were like, what the hell are you smoking? Charging that much for coasters.
Yeah, we're always very gun-shy to like a value option. Like we know people buy things because they want to support the channel and us doing this podcast and all that stuff. And we really appreciate it. But at the same time, we don't want it to look like we're ripping people off.
Yeah.
And the production of a lot of things are really expensive.
Oh, like the
decals.
Decals,
patches, really expensive.
One of the things that took so long to do the decals was that I just kept trying to find a better price for the decals. Again, I don't buy like very many decals, like if at all. Mm-hmm. So for me, when I saw the price of what it cost to make a decal, I was like, is this for real? But then I kind of compared it to other decals that are sold. And I was like, oh, okay, well, I guess that's the price. And if people were asking for it, I would put it out there. But I am usually very hesitant to put something out there where I'm not really even comfortable with
where it ends up.
So,
very good.
Okay, next email, titled The Lamp.
The Lamp.
Did you post a picture of the lamp?
No. I got some comments on Twitter, too, from people who are like, I just don't know how you didn't know it was a touch lamp. None of it is touch, except for a very small strip
on the lamp. It's a very sleek...
But it's all metal. The body is entirely metal, and it's painted metal. Versus touch lamps are usually the whole body is like a capacitor.
Right,
you can
right.
touch it and it's metal and it reacts to your touch. That lamp has a like
a finger pad area.
It's got like a 5-inch long strip that you can touch it and there's no pressure. There's no switch. So it's literally capacitance or something that's doing it. Resistance. It's probably resistive touch. Anyway, go ahead.
Okay. This is from KO4HKU. Hello, Leia. I've been listening to your, in quotation marks, podcast for a couple of months now. Find it a great way to pass the time as I cut grass or blow leaves while learning about ham radio. A couple of thoughts on this past week's podcast. One, the whole conversation about the lamp was hilarious, and I found myself laughing out loud several times.
It's not good. That's Schadenfreude.
Given the season, the lamp in the movie A Christmas Story came to mind. You know, the leg lamp.
Of course I do.
Yeah, okay. I don't know what you know sometimes, you know?
Anytime you bring up lamps now, I'm going to be like real...
real touchy.
Real salty.
It is amazing how controversial a lamp can be.
It's a nice looking lamp. I don't disagree with that.
Love it.
Yeah, I know you love lamp. I get it.
Yeah. I mean, I guess I could get a remote control lamp. Is that better?
That's probably fine.
Oh, okay.
You didn't expect that answer, did you?
Well, we'll see.
Because the remote control isn't just constantly shooting out waves of RF. It's only when you push the button.
Wouldn't it be amazing if I replaced it with a lamp that created even more noise?
This lamp is just an entire antenna.
Challenge accepted.
God. This is just a spark gap. This is just it's two high voltage lines where the voltage is constantly jumping between the two exposed anodes or whatever they call it, diodes. Not even that. I don't know what I'm saying right now. And that's what gives light. It's the spark, which that would
so
be the worst.
I shouldn't have gotten the kids that like that
Dr.
table.
Frankenstein's mini lab.
Yeah, the thing that has the circuit that goes between the two points, like people use it as a decoration in their offices.
About?
You haven't seen the tabletop decoration that's like two points, and you can see the electricity pass between them.
What?
I just thought that it would be good for them to learn electricity.
I don't know what
wonder
you're talking about.
I'll show it to you later.
I'm assuming it's horrible. I'm just going to say that right up front. It's horrible. I hate it.
Josh is like, only wooden toys now.
Throw my beard back out. We're going Amish.
2, I really like the idea of ham hacks. I know there are already several parts to the podcast. There are so many parts to this podcast.
So many parts.
Whew. However, I think a quick ham hack
like
each
1 minute
would add a lot of value. Doesn't have to take long, Josh. I'm just kidding. I added the Josh part.
Yeah.
But a short suggestion or best practice would provide us listeners with something to try.
I'll make a note.
Stay positive on getting your license. I really appreciate all you and your co-hosts do for the hobby.
Thank you.
73 Sterling. That's a different Sterling?
A different Sterling.
Is Sterling K-O-4-H-K-U?
No, that's not Sterling.
That's a different Sterling.
Different Sterling.
Gotcha. Well, okay. Thank you to all the Sterlings listening.
Thank you to all the Sterlings.
And thank you for Sterling for writing in. All the Sterlings that have written
all the Sterlings. Yes. Thank you.
The next one is from Brian Lutton. It is podcast question. Hello, Josh and Leia. This throws me off a little because normally people address it.
You.
Yeah, Leia yeah. and Josh.
Right.
Yeah. I just wanted to say thanks for all the great information you give out. I obtained my technician in October and just upgraded to general on Friday. Huge congratulations.
Big congrats. Good job.
I'm not a big talking on the radio, in quotations, guy, but more into listening, and I got into this hobby for the challenge of using radio to make contacts around the world, mm-hmm. using different means such as digital voice, and I'm even learning CW wow. as something I've become obsessed with, along with making my own antennas, etc. Very cool.
Yep.
He's like gotten into all of it.
Yeah, good.
I have a couple of questions. One, when I am listening to a local repeater, why do people talking on them feel the need to drone on for 60 seconds in a stream of consciousness type of monologue? I've heard people stop mid-sentence to report on a bad driver in front of them. It seems like instead of having conversations, they feel the need to get as many words in as possible, as if the FCC requires a minimum number of words spoken in a year to keep their license active.
I don't know, but I'm glad it's not just me in my geographic area. No, I knew it's not, but yeah, I don't know. And you know what? It's like that on HF too. There's a lot of people that just talk and talk and talk and talk and talk.
That's just, but it's different people's talking styles.
Yes. A lot of people do not have the Shakespearean brevity is the soul of wit kind of thing. they're definitely not diving in hard on that.
I mean, if you think about ham radio as talking to a bunch of your friends, if you're on the phone with a friend mm-hmm. and there's something that happens on the road, do you not tell them?
Well, yeah, but I think what he's saying is that they're taking something that could be 15 seconds and they're turning it into a minute long soliloquy mm. on the, you know, the struggle that is unfolding
yes,
in front
I see.
Of him. I think also some consideration has to be acknowledged in that if they're doing a net or they're doing a, you know, a rag chew, mm-hmm. they could be throwing it to like five other stations. And generally when it gets thrown to you, you want to feel like you're contributing something. Mm. And so you generally try to like talk about a lot of things because it's probably not going to come back to you for like 15 or 30 minutes.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. Depending on how long people go for and how big the rag chew is. Yeah.
Wow.
So people try to like get it all in one shot, and then you know they'll be sitting there for 15 minutes as it goes around, and they'll pick up new things to talk about, and it's like a perpetual motion machine of just people chatting about what's going on, right? Because it's not a two-way conversation at that point, right? It's a multi
A spoken Twitter.
It's a baton
60
pass.
Seconds of
you're constantly passing the conch around.
Gotcha.
For who can talk next. So yeah, I hear what you're saying. That does happen a lot. And I think that when it's not like a rag chew, that just might be the byproduct of people who are used to that, just knowing how to communicate that way.
Mm.
You know, they're just, that's what they do. They're just used to being long-winded.
And I think that's also, you've talked about this before, but I think it's one of the reasons that it's good to find like a repeater or a net mm-hmm. on a topic that you're really interested in.
Oh, yeah.
Because then you're not so bothered by somebody taking 60 seconds to say something.
Well, I mean, yeah, every year I do a talk with Kevin, W6RAP, and it's just he and I talking for, I mean, it's over an hour. It's like 2 hours.
And on the air?
Yeah, he talks like nonstop for like over an hour generally because he's got the most information for Summits on the Air. And then I'll talk about like weird gear hacks and stuff like that, or weird things I've learned as I've done Summits
when
on the Air.
When do you do this?
Once a year. I did it a couple months ago.
I don't even remember this.
Yeah. And we will talk for 3 minutes, unkey the repeater, talk for 3 minutes, unkey the repeater, talk for 3 minutes, unkey the repeater. We'll take questions occasionally too, but you know, that's kind of how that works.
somebody's listening to that repeater. It's like, why won't these guys shut up?
These guys, I want to talk about the tent I got at Walmart.
Ozark Trail.
Oh, you nailed it. Good timing.
Okay, two, when making a contact with another new ham on 146.52.
Right on.
Recently, we were both reprimanded, in quotations, by a more experienced ham for having a conversation on that frequency instead of moving it to another. I can't understand why anyone would deter new hams from speaking on the radio, let alone on a frequency I monitor, yet rarely hear anyone using.
Yeah, so there's a couple of ways to handle this more gracefully than that person probably did. And by the way, so
this could be a whole topic
of discussion.
There's so many unspoken rules of ham. It is, not only do you have the things you have to learn for the test, right, when you start using the radio, suddenly there's an entire etiquette. Like, somebody needs to be like an Emily Post. Wait, did I date myself? Do people know who Emily Post is? Is it a Dear Prudence? Okay, whatever.
Dear TikTok.
Yeah. No, do not ask TikTok for etiquette advice. Just the rudest. Are you still writing?
Yeah, hold on. I had to switch to my phone. Something's wrong with my iPad. It's not showing my show. I have a show ideas note that I keep. It's like so long for different videos that I can do. And I just added that. So it's a great, great topic of a video because it needs a discussion. So here's generally the way to look at this.
In a minute.
146.52, yeah, right. 146.520 is a calling frequency.
What does that mean?
A calling frequency is, hey, I'm looking to make a contact. Anybody out there? And then that person comes back.
Where is this written?
Well,
how would somebody know that if they were a new ham with no Elmer?
In the days of yore, on the stone tablets that we carved and brought down from Mount something. Mount Marconi, we brought forth the tablets of the calling frequency.
It was really difficult, though, because there was like 20 tablets.
We had a backhoe. It's an excavator. So the reality is the calling frequency is for you to call to make a contact. And then when someone comes back to you, you maybe have a little back and forth. If it's just supposed to be a quick QSO, like you just want to do like a, your signal report is this, you sound like this, I'm here, you're there, boom, 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 you get my log, we're done.
Mm-hmm.
Then you can keep going. But if you're continuing to talk, it's generally common courtesy that you move off of that frequency. So you'd say, I am going to move off of 146.520 and I'm going to go to 146.53 something. You know, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And you go up the band a little bit and you continue your cue. So there with that person, we can just talk pretty freely. And again, I just threw that number out.
How far off the band do you need to
move? Hold on. I just threw that number out. You should look and see where the simplex frequencies are, which is also another like, hey, go to a simplex frequency. So that's the first part. That's like common courtesy, right? That's like what you should do on your own without having to be told that. Now, to this other ham that like chimed in while you were using 146.520, which is never used. Mm-hmm. Like if it's never, ever used, then I would tell that guy, hey, we're here right now. The contact's not going to be much longer. And by the way, I'm out here every day monitoring. I don't hear any traffic. So this is, you know,
this is fine what I'm doing.
This is fine what I'm doing right now. You don't own the frequency. No one owns the frequency. We're using it right now. And we're going to abate the frequency shortly. Now, to the individual that piped up, he could have done this in a more nuanced way, mm-hmm. right? He could have said, hey, guys, just a reminder, this is a frequency for people to also call for help. So,
gotcha.
You know, it's not that I'm kicking you off of here, but, you know, put some spacing in between when you respond, at least, mm-hmm. so that if there was someone that needed help, they could get in. See, what's not in the email is I don't know how fast they were going back and forth. usually when you're on a calling frequency, I add a big space in between when I stop talking and or when the other station stops talking and I start talking. Mm-hmm. I add a real big space. So if somebody adds like comment or break or their call sign, that I can stop and acknowledge it, mm-hmm. right? And either add them into the discussion or, you know, they have emergency traffic and they need help. So, you know, a little bit of nuance is at play with some of this stuff.
These unspoken rules really, I think, add to the gatekeeping.
It can, right? Because what I just said, like how I just explained this to you,
yeah.
you probably would not walk away being offended.
Yeah.
Right? But I'm assuming the guy that was on the air that responded to that station, you know, the emailer,
yeah.
was probably a jerk.
Yeah. And, well, he said he was like reprimanded. That's
right.
Why would one adult feel the need to reprimand?
Because they think they've got some authority. They have no authority, really, at the end of the day. Like, it is a, there's no like FCC rule protecting a lot of this stuff. It is a unofficial ban plan in how we can use the space effectively. At the same time, we want to use it in a way that, like, you know, everybody's generally happy with it, mm-hmm. the way we use it. So just focus on what I'm saying, the effective use cases for it, and why we should be more likely to move off frequency. We mm-hmm. should do that, generally. But to the person that's, like, you know, reprimanding people, you know, you can, like, you can sell your message easier. You can
right.
sell your message in a much better way
that people
won't be offended. You could be welcoming yeah. while doing it. It's like, hey, guys, I don't know if you know this. We also use this frequency to monitor, like, emergency traffic. So I'm not trying to kick you off, but give a space in between yeah. when you're talking. So if somebody needed help and they were on low power, that they could get in. Boom. Yeah. Easy, right? Easy. Super easy.
Cost $0.
Cost $0. I don't know.
I hope.
Okay.
I hope that answers your question, Brian. He says, thanks. And I'll be listening. Brian, KC19YZ. Thank you for writing in.
Thank you, Brian.
Okay, the next one is from Marcus Aurelius, who I believe have...
Marcus Aurelius, okay.
I think I've received an email before. I'm not sure.
He's in Gladiator.
Podcast, in quotations, review, and more.
Okay. Ooh, I'm buckling in. Buckle up.
Hang on to your butts. Okay.
We've watched Jurassic Park way too many times in this house.
Hello, Leah and Josh. I am a consumer of all things HRCC. Those are you gasp. You're like, that's so nice.
We have a loyal brand. Yes. Thank you, by the way. Appreciate that.
Though, since I listen to the podcast on Google Podcasts, I know that any review I write would likely never find its way to you guys. So I decided to send you a quick message here. When I was looking to get into ham, I always thought it was difficult to learn about and likely something that would take a long time to become licensed for. Additionally, I always seemed to picture a senior citizen with World War II era gear hunched over a dimly lit desk while transcribing an incoming CW message.
Which is nothing wrong with that, but yeah. yes. That's
but how
the
is
prevailing...
that for image building? Well done.
I could see it.
Yeah. Thankfully.
He's an author.
Yeah. Thankfully, HRCC was a thing and showed me that it was not only easier, but way more new age with more modes, etc.
Ah.
With the help from HRCC, hamstudy.org, and a phone app, I was able to pass my tech at the end of April. Congratulations.
Very big congrats.
I have a few Baofengs and a few t-shirts on my Christmas list. Thank you for supporting Hamtactical. I bought myself a Yaesu FT3DR as a graduation present when I passed my tech. And now I'm getting into satellites and will likely have to buy/build myself a directional antenna for that too.
Cool.
Careful, ladies. Oh. I may even just try some EME.
Oh, man.
Good throwback. Good throwback
That's
to
very
past
good.
Podcasts.
That is very
well
good.
Done. Well
That's
done.
Very good. This guy isn't, he should be writing something.
He is, yeah.
You need to be a blogger.
The following videos and podcasts have been very helpful in setting up my shack picture is attached,
Whoa.
But won't make good pod.
Probably not, but yeah. I appreciate that.
Programming Baofeng with Chirp.
Yep.
A Brie antenna test and review.
Yep.
what radio should I get?
Nice.
I bought both the FT3DR and 2730A because of that video.
Wow.
FT3DR setup and programming, setting up your ham shack, HOA-friendly antennas. Also nearly wet myself looking at malicious compliance. That is one of my favorite subreddits. Like, hands down, malicious
it's
compliance.
So good.
Yes. You guys are an amazing pair that play off each other so well, as it should be in a good marriage. You somehow strike an amazing balance of knowledge sharing, entertainment, comedy, intended and unintended. Example, I love lamp. And ham news. I should have read that. I love lamp.
You don't remember what? Where is I love lamp from?
It's a meme.
No.
What?
It's from a movie.
Oh, I don't remember then.
It's from Anchorman.
Oh yeah,
Steve Carell.
Yes,
I love lamp, and yes. It's not like I love lamp. It's I love lamp.
Fine, you got me.
He has the grenade in the street fight. Everybody's street fighting. He's running around with the grenades, screaming.
Keep up the great work across all platforms. And my vote is to not worry about podcast length, but rather focus on the flow and ease of the conversation. Quality over quantity. Mm. I wish you both a happy holiday season and new year. Sincerely, Toby. I think it's spelled T-O-B-E, so it could be Tobe or Toby.
Okay.
K-O-4-D-D-U. And Toby has a very clean ham shack. This is the kind of ham shack I would really enjoy.
This is a great pod.
It's a
Yes. Yeah. That was on. He sent me that. Fantastic setup. He's got that the 27A or the 2730 head unit on like an arm.
Yes.
It's really nice. Very clean.
Yeah.
The
I love it.
Opposite of my
desk.
Yeah,
your.
Whew. But that is fantastic. That
I
is
think
a
you should learn a few things from Toby.
From Tobe?
Yeah, Tobe. I'm so sorry we're butchering
your
name.
Sorry, Tobe.
But thank you for writing in and all the nice words.
We appreciate it. Thank you. And I'm just kidding about that.
Yeah. Thomas White, who we are also familiar with. Hamstudy.org is the title.
Uh-oh.
Leia, love your podcast with what's his name?
Mm-hmm.
I use this Tobe. App to help me study and pass my technician and extra class tests. I highly recommend it. And it is hamstudy.org. Thank you, Thomas. AD6TW.
Good.
Thank you. That name's very familiar. I'm not sure. Sometimes I think there are names that are familiar from the live stream because I try to hop in on those. Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you see a familiar suffix, the last part of the call sign,
yeah,
and you think it's the same person, but then you look at the front of the mm-hmm. call sign, you're like, oh, that's a different person completely.
Yeah.
But a lot of suffixes get reused.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you for writing in, Thomas.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Thomas.
Show idea, kids' safety.
Don't
and
lick
this
the
is
antenna.
From, this is from Chris Rank? Rancic? Okay.
Good.
Okay.
We're killing it with the names today.
I'm like a substitute teacher in the classroom.
Najuan? We got a Trung Najuan?
Hi, Leia Nguyen? And Josh.
Nugent?
I guess that's just.
It's Nguyen, folks. It's
yeah.
Nguyen.
It's Nguyen.
You're
also not doing it right. So.
Thank you, Leia. Thank you.
But the other thing is that like a lot of people who have that last name have just like resolved to just say it wrong.
Yeah, it's Nguyen.
Yeah.
It's good.
Yeah. Hi, Leia and Josh. Love the podcast and listen every Friday on the way to work. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
I have a child under the age of 18 who is working to get a tech license, but I'm less than thrilled about how findable a typical address attached to an FCC license is. Obviously, the solution is to get a PO box.
Yeah.
But I was just wondering if you guys have any other thoughts or ideas about how to keep kids safe with ham radio. Might be a show segment? K3DCR.
Yeah, so if you've got kids, before you even get in the FCC database, get yourself a PO box.
There's no other alternative, though?
You should only ever have the PO box associated with your FCC account, period. For everybody listening to this, if you have any OPSEC concerns or you've got kids, get a P.O. box and just run everything to the FCC through that.
Why isn't there just like a joint ham
I'm telling you, I'm telling you right now what the solution is right now, not what the world is that I would like it to be. You know what I mean?
What would that be?
That it not be attached to an address. Like, I appreciate that the FCC has to be able to message you. I don't know a solution to it, to be honest with you. Okay. I really don't. I think the P.O. box is an acceptable way to handle it.
But it costs.
Yeah. So that's like a major bummer. I totally appreciate that.
Maybe your local ham club could put together a joint address.
They can't, though. Well, okay. That's a whole thing I can't get into. Okay. I'm just telling you what to do right now. Right now solution is have a P.O. box. Now, for a kid on the radio, I think you should be there.
Sure.
Straight up.
Sure.
I mean, we've listened to some wild stuff go on the repeaters in our area.
Well, he says under 18. It depends on the range, right? If you're like closer to 18, then maybe not so much. But if you're talking like, you know, anywhere under.
I mean, if the kid is sliding over the roof of his T-Bird and hopping in and he's got a ham radio mobile that he set up and doing a burnout as he takes off to go hang out with his girlfriend, then it's like, I don't know how much you're going to supervise him.
Yeah.
But
or
if
her. Could be her.
In my fictional example that I gave, it was a young man. But yes, it could be a young lady.
Yeah.
I'm not drawing any gender distinctions. All I'm saying is that, like, if it's a younger person that is not doing the Dukes of Hazzard slide over the hood of the car.
Yeah, over her Thunderbird.
Sure. That's a Charger, but okay, we're Dukes of Hazzard now. I switched the narrative on you a little bit. That you're
just gonna drink my drink.
Yeah. That you should probably be there. There's and it's a good bonding experience anyway. Like, you know, have some fun with it. I think. Yeah.
So you were given the ability to come up with any solution, whether or not it exists, and you couldn't, right?
Yeah, because at the end of the day, the FCC does need the ability to mail you.
Okay.
They need the ability to send you mail.
So I gave our kids, our youngest, in preschool, okay, the preschool co-op that I teach, I gave the kids the ability to give their moms anything. They just needed to draw a picture of it, okay? Mm-hmm. It didn't need to exist. They didn't need to worry about how they were going to pay for it or how they were going to acquire it. Right. They just needed to draw
it. The mythical mother present, like the sky's the limit.
Yeah. So one of the kids is like, it draws an oceanfront resort, okay? And she's like, I bought my mom a trip because her mom has huge wanderlust and has been like COVID stuck.
Right.
Right. And I was like, that's fantastic. You really know your mom. That's like amazing. Another kid goes, I got my mom a certificate for 1 year of uninterrupted sleep, which is like definitely fictional. And like,
but knows the mom again really well.
Yeah, exactly. So we get to Edison.
Yes.
And Edison draws a straight red line. Mm-hmm. And then a curved white line above it. And then just put a red line. And then bunch of stickers around it.
Yeah.
And if he could just give me anything at all, do you know?
I know. Yeah, I know.
What he would give me is a red stapler.
Yeah. Do you have my stapler? Do you have my stapler? It's the red swing line.
What the heck?
The Bostitch jams up too much. So I like the swing line. And then the squirrels. I watch them out my window.
Oh, my
married.
God. He's never seen Office Space, okay?
Oh, we watched it like 18 times.
No, you did not. No, for real, you've never shown him Office Space.
Hey, the breast exam commercial's on again. No, you never show the kids Office Space.
Yeah, so I don't know where he got that. But good question, Chris. Thank you so much.
Yes, thank you.
Please do not buy me a red stapler. Okay, don't go out and buy one and give it to me on behalf of Edison. I have so many staplers already.
No, I know you have a gold swing line.
I have a gold swing line. Yeah.
You have a swing line. So you already know the superior capabilities of the swing line.
Right.
But you have decided to go with the gold model. Which I'm supportive of that. Thank you.
Okay. Next question. This is from Charlie Beerworth, who is also a longtime friend of HRCC.
Mm, thank you.
Spotify issues and feedback.
Yes.
Okay. So this is the difficulty about answering this on the podcast. If you're having troubles reaching the feed, you will not get our answer.
Ah, yes.
So this says, Leia, a few months ago, I noticed Spotify wasn't carrying new episodes of the podcast. I remember you guys saying you thought you fixed it, and I thought it was just something weird with my phone. Recently, I got a new phone and a fresh install, and it still only has your episode from August 28th. I'm going to skip ahead because this is obviously a troubleshooting thing, mm-hmm. but I do want to clarify that if you are intermittently getting our podcast on Spotify, it is most likely because you are subscribed to the wrong feed.
There are two feeds.
Yes.
We are working really hard to conjoin the two feeds.
Yeah, we switched podcast hosts, and on every other service.
Seamless.
Yeah, there was no duplication of feed. Yeah. Spotify has this problem. I've contacted Spotify. They shoot us over to our podcast sponsor.
Not sponsor, but host. Yeah.
And they're saying it's a Spotify issue. So the best I can say right now with them trying to work it out is find the other feed.
Correct.
The one that updates.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there is another feed. It updates all new episodes. So sorry about that.
Yes,
that's the apologies. Solution to the problem right now.
That's a technological issue. I mean, the other problem is if they just delete the old feed, then nobody who was subscribed.
I have no idea. Yeah. It's a big problem.
So, movie quiz for Josh and possible shirt ideas.
Okay.
Oh, I'm sorry. So, Charlie, sorry about the problems.
Thank you, Charlie.
Yeah, thank you for writing in. This one is from Victor Cruikshank, who has, I believe, written in before, too. All of these names seem very familiar. I don't know. Like, I'm on all the HRCC platforms now, too, like, mm-hmm. between Discord and the Facebook and everything like that. There's so many names. So I apologize. Hi, Leia. You guys are so much fun. I listen to you whenever I'm in my cars. Driving.
Multiple cars.
Yes. And you have me laughing out loud. I love to drive from Colorado to California and listen the whole way.
Wow.
Wow. That is a long drive, too.
Mm-hmm.
I picked up that Josh is quite the movie aficionado and thought I'd do a little quiz for him. You are.
Uh-oh.
Your brain is full of so much.
But like bad movies. Bad movies are my favorite.
Yes.
Okay.
But like, really filled with the minutiae of movies.
Yeah,
it can be,
yeah.
I used movie quotations and taglines and spun to include ham radio stuff for him to see if he can guess the movies. As I was doing this, I noticed one or two of them would make fun t-shirts. The last three are my favorites and would make great shirts I would buy.
Mm.
Here's the quiz.
Okay.
Luke, I am your Elmer.
Am I supposed to?
What is the movie?
Star Wars.
Which one, though?
Empire Strikes Back.
That's right. Holding an HT. Say hello to my little friend.
That is Scarface.
Yep. QRP, do you feel lucky? Well, do you, punk?
Dirty Harry.
Okay. I do wish we could QSO longer, but I'm having an old friend for dinner. I'm not saying it right.
Hannibal?
That's the character in the...
Silence of the Lambs?
Yes.
Okay. In Hannibal, he ate the brain, so that was the whole thing. Okay.
I came here to DX and chew bubblegum, and I'm fresh out of bubblegum.
So that's They Live?
Yeah.
And technically Duke Nukem, but okay.
Okay. You had me at CQ, CQ, CQ.
Jerry Maguire.
Yeah. I'll get you, my pretty, and your little antennas, too.
Yeah.
You're entering a world of pain. This is not NOM. This is ham radio. There are rules. I don't think I said that right either. I'm really butchering these. Sorry, Vic.
Okay, so this... You're entering a world of pain.
This is not NOM. This is ham radio. There are rules.
Man. It's not Full Metal Jacket, is it?
No.
Then I don't know. What is it?
The Big Lebowski.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Your mother was a technician and your father smelt of elderberries.
That's the Monty Python, the Holy Grail.
Leave the Baofeng. Take the cannoli.
And that is The Godfather Part 2.
Okay, that is his favorite.
Ah.
I hope this brings you...
I do like that, by the way. That's a good one.
I hope this brings you a little fun in return for all the fun I've gotten from both of you.
Wait, was it Godfather Part 2 or Part 1?
It didn't even have a part on it. It just said The Godfather.
Part 1. Yeah, I think it's Part 1.
Well, thank you. If we end up making any of those, Vic, you're going to go ahead and get one.
Yeah, I'm bummed out about the Big Lebowski one. Man. Mm-hmm.
So disappointing.
Oh, yeah. It's in the... It's with... Anyway, okay. Yes.
Okay.
Yes, good.
And that's from
that was
Vic
great.
Krukshik,
thank you.
K-O-P-U-P. K-0-U-P.
I like podcast games. That was fun.
Yeah, well done. Thank you.
Yeah, that was
great. You may not know this, but Josh and I are big trivia buffs.
We are, as long as it's not sports.
Yes, we are the worst. So bad at sports trivia.
Oh, my gosh.
Okay, that was my last email.
Wow. That was a marathon.
That was a ride. That was a ride. But lots of good questions. Mm-hmm. So thank you guys.
Yes,
lots
thank
of
you.
Good
and
feedback.
If you want to email Leia, it is leia@hamtactical.com. And we take obviously your comments that we'll read on the show, but also your shirt ideas. And the running thing we're doing is if your shirt idea gets turned into a shirt or some kind of merch that we're putting out, then you will get one of the first ones we make. So there you go. So thank you for doing that. Okay, now it's time for our drink review. After the my gosh, the reviews and the emails. Thank you so much for doing that, by the way.
So many segments.
So today we are looking at and drinking the Trader Joe's Old Fashioned pre-mixed beverage. It is a... Looks like a whiskey bottle. It's got an old-fashioned printed label on it. 35% alcohol by volume. 750 milliliter bottle. And I picked this up at Trader Joe's today. And it's literally open it up and pour it out and enjoy it.
We had some Luxardo cherries.
With a bit of ice. You commented that it probably deserves a garnish to be
its
best form.
Orange peel.
Now, I'll tell everybody up front, it is lighter than you would expect, like a, handmade old-fashioned to me. The,
you know what else it needs?
All the taste of it was very light, but at the same time, very strong.
It
so
needs
it's doing the job, I guess.
It needs a smoke chamber. We we were celebrating a win you had at work.
Yes.
And so I went and picked you up a celebratory meal from an Argentinian steakhouse.
Mm-hmm.
And while I was waiting there for an hour,
yes,
I watched the bartender make drinks because there's no indoor dining where we are. They only had outdoor dining, but you could wait indoors for your food.
Perfect, right? That's to code.
And so I wait by the bartender. They can't serve me a drink because I'm inside and not seated at an outdoor table.
Right.
But I also cannot go and drink it not at a table because then I'm outside of their legal area for drinking.
Wow. Fantastic. We've worked out all the complications.
But they were making old fashions.
Mm-hmm.
They stuck them in a chamber, like a almost like a greenhouse, like a mini greenhouse, and then lit something on the outside of it on fire. Mm-hmm. And then the smoke filled the chamber to make a smoky old-fashioned.
Oh, yeah, I saw the video for it. It's like a little cube that the smoke just completely permeates the drink, and then here you go, smoke drink. Sounds great. This, however, on the lighter side, you can taste it's got a bit of bitters, but it doesn't have any, like, complex bitters or anything like that. It's totally drinkable, totally good. I would argue that the way they actually recommend it, which is to do, like, a spritzer with some soda water, would be fantastic.
Old-fashioned spritzer.
So that's the way I would go with that. So that's how I would review the old-fashioned. What do you think?
It's good. I'm on my second one. I'm feeling pretty...
As we roll into this test.
Yeah.
So yeah, right on.
Feeling both tired with...
All right, Leia, it's time. We've put it on. We've put it off long enough. We can't avoid it. It's time to continue. How many questions before you...
Five.
Oh, this is it.
Yeah, 30.
You got to nail all these.
Yeah, or I'm not going to pass.
Yeah, you got to nail all these.
I don't even know if I pass. I nail all of them.
I don't know.
I mean, at some point,
it's
just...
close. It's close.
What is the source?
Just resign. Yeah. I'm just going to start over. We're five away. I feel pretty confident I failed. I'm just going to go ahead and kill it.
Yeah. Even if I get these five all right, I'm going to fail. Mm-hmm. The test should just start me over.
It says, like, be like, dog.
Do not pass go. What is the source of a high-pitched whine that varies with engine speed in a mobile transceiver's receive audio?
Yes, this is a great question.
A, anti-locking brake system controllers. B, the alternator. C, the electric fuel pump. D, the ignition system. It's B, the alternator, right?
Oh, yeah. You nailed it. Good.
Okay.
I didn't know if I was going to have to talk about car electronics or anything.
What is the name given to an amateur radio station that is used to connect another amateur radio station to the internet? A, a gateway. B, a digipeater. C, a repeater. D, a beacon. B, a digipeater. A gateway? What is a digipeater then?
A digipeater is purely there for repeating APRS packets.
Now,
here's one of those nuanced questions. A digipeater can have a gateway, what we call an iGate. It can all
be
there.
I said F this question.
Yeah, okay. All right. Well, don't forget
I'm gonna write down a list of questions for the FCC.
It doesn't go to the FCC. It has nothing to do with the FCC.
God, what do you not pay them for? Why is it important to have low SWR when using coaxial cable feed line? A, to reduce signal loss. B, to prolong antenna life. C, all of these choices are correct. D, to reduce television interference. A, to reduce signal loss.
Nailed it.
Nailed it. What is the resistance of a circuit that draws 4 amperes from a 12-volt source? A, 8 ohms. B, 16 ohms. C, 3 ohms. D, 48 ohms. I'm going to go with 3 ohms. Ha ha. Mathed you.
Yeah, that helps. Surprisingly. Math comes in handy occasionally.
What is meant by the term third-party communications? A message from a control operator to another amateur station control operator on behalf of another person. B, operation when transmitting equipment is licensed to a person rather than the control operator. C, temporary authorization for an unlicensed person to transmit on the amateur bands for technical experiments. D, amateur radio communications, where 3 stations are in communication with one another. So I want to say it's A or B, but I'm going to go with A.
So what's the question?
What is meant by the term third-party communications?
Third-party communication.
Uh-huh.
And what's A?
So A is a message from a control operator to another amateur station control operator on behalf of another person. Yeah.
Got it.
Last question. Yeah.
Feeling pretty good. Okay. All right.
Again, I think I have already failed.
Yeah, you probably already failed, but you could be close. This
last one counts, man. Of the following is a good way to judge whether your uplink power is neither too low nor too high. A, your signal strength on the downlink should be about the same as the beacon. B, listen for distortion on your downlink signal. C, check your signal strength report in the telemetry data. D, all of these choices are correct. Oh, no.
Do you know what they're talking about?
Oh, no.
That's a TikTok.
Yeah. Oh, no. Oh, no. Oh, no.
I have no idea.
You don't know what they're talking about at all, right?
Like, not in the least. So I'm going to go with all of these choices are correct.
Okay.
Ah, your signal strength.
Okay, here we go.
All right. I'm going to... Done. Ugh, I'm off by 4. Is that worse?
No, I think it's the same.
No, I think it's it might be better.
I think it's better. Maybe.
Maybe by 1.
Maybe by
I'm
1.
I'm failed. I'm sorry.
I'm failed.
Yeah, but you only got 22 out of 35 questions correct. You need 26 correct answers to pass the test. How is this possible?
Aliens.
I'm never going to pass.
Leia, you don't take any practice test except when you do the show.
It's true, but I've done so many shows.
Literally 2 tests worth. Do you know that like
3.
People... No. 3. Oh, well, half of 1. Because remember, we didn't finish 1 and then you had to restart it. You've only gotten through
4.
2. No, you've only gotten through 2.
So 4 is what
no,
you're saying.
You've only gotten through 2 tests in the time that we've done this podcast.
All right.
You can use your phone and just take some tests.
Yeah, but I feel like I would be robbing everybody of the experience.
Well, you're definitely robbing people of the confidence factor. Like, there are people out there that are like, well, I can do this.
Yeah, look at this dummy.
Jeez. Leia's not offended by that at all.
I'm not.
But very good. You are putting in a real effort here. I think you're learning some things.
I don't remember anything about those last questions.
So the last question was about a satellite. That was a satellite transmission. Mm. They were talking about.
Oh, then I should have actually known that.
Mm, no.
Because we have briefly talked about it before.
We've briefly talked about satellites, but that's an area where I'm not like an active operator on mm-hmm. satellites. Mm-hmm. So I wouldn't consider myself an authority in that area at all.
Did you know that I'm actually my own person? So your knowledge actually is not a bank that transfers to me.
Oh, like there's not we haven't figured out osmosis? how many years have we been married? Over 10. I think that's the year when you pick up spontaneous
we become the Borg.
Osmosis, right? Where we start generating a hive mind capability. It's over 2.4 gigahertz Wi-Fi. Our brains start transmitting to each other.
Oh, that'd be amazing. You would be able to cook.
What is that? What's the term they use for
suddenly
learned incompetence? Learned incompetence?
Yeah. Suddenly you understand Cantonese cooking.
Oh my god! I don't need you now. Oh no! Once you pass like 12 feet, then it's like yeah. gone. Like Leia, you can relax. Just drag the couch like 12 feet away because I need to make some
wontons
right now and some. Pot stickers to perhaps go along with it.
Why would you have pot stickers and wontons?
Because I'm me and I know what I like.
What kind of dumpling animal are you?
I know what I like. I want dumpling in soup and I want dumpling that I can dip.
I don't even like fried dumplings.
Oh, they're like pot stickers? Like when you, one side of them's all crispy?
I don't like that.
Oh my God, it's my favorite.
I know, it's good for you that I don't like it because then you eat my share too.
I eat a ton.
Yeah.
But nowhere near as much as when your mom makes bun cot.
Yeah, that's true.
I will. Oh, man, I eat so much of those things.
I'm pretty sure you cleaned up the area to set up the outdoor kitchen because we promised that we would make
bun cot. Said it wasn't even that you would. It was that it was possible.
Yeah.
It was that it could happen
in
the
future. And then COVID lockdown.
in the future, I could have that dish. And by the way, like, I'm not saying it. How do you say it? What do you say?
Mankak.
Okay. So
it's actually named for the sound it makes with the sizzling bubbling of the this. Okay, so it uses an Ebel skewer pan, if anybody knows what an Ebel skewer
wow.
is.
Wow, yeah, everybody knows that.
I think a lot of people do know what an Ebel skewer is. It's a pancake like ball.
It's a little pancake ball.
Okay, so Bunkot is actually a flour, coconut milk-based batter, right? And then you top it with like ground pork and shrimp and some other things.
I just want to, we need to repeat that. Ground pork and shrimp.
Yes, and then
it's
it gets
surf and
more
turf pancake. That's like 1 inch wide,
and it's not sweet at all.
No, it's all savory. When she said pancake to Americans, not savory or not sweet. It's totally savory.
Yeah, and then it gets topped with like
a little bit of coconut milk,
some oil, and scallions. And then it gets crispy underneath.
It gets super crispy.
Yeah, and then inside it's kind of like. Soft, but a little mochi like.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
but it's not chewy. It's not like chewy. But no, the best part is that you generally will eat it. At least the way your mom serves it is with nukmum and with chili peppers chopped up.
Oh yeah.
And so it's a fish sauce.
Yes.
And when I say fish sauce, a lot of people are thinking,
it's fish sauce with like lime and sugar and garlic and chilies.
It's not a strong fish flavor.
Yeah, it's like very diluted with other seasoning.
But it's got this like citrusy thing going on, and it's a little bit spicy. It is. I've murdered.
I mean, I could actually just make it on my own.
I've murdered plates of this thing. Like, just it's one of my favorite dishes in the world. So, well, Leia, thank you for continuing to struggle.
Yeah.
Strive
to embarrass myself every few weeks.
Really, it's just an
result.
Embarrassment of me. People are like, I don't think he's teaching her anything.
He's not. Just so everybody knows, he's not.
I don't think he's doing anything. He has a show that he does every week talking about some really esoteric stuff. And she can't even pass her technician license.
You know,
this
is
really an indictment of him, not her.
You know what's really horrible is I hop on your live streams and like,
I know.
People
but
talk
you're just
to
in
me.
There like chilling in the chat room.
Yeah,
you're
and
not
people,
paying attention.
People
you're not
are,
learning.
Yeah, people are talking to me about totally
She's
unrelated
like, I know this
stuff.
Guy. He's a jerk. I'm not watching this stuff.
And I joke that like I'm really only there to make sure he's not like spending more money
like just
on ham radio.
And it's like QVC, but it's reverse QVC. It's just me talking about the things I'm buying at the moment.
It's so that I can
You're
keep
not wrong.
All of those people in the comments telling you to buy things in check. I'm like, no, thank you.
Go ahead and ban him. Yeah. You're in a 60-second timeout. Yeah.
Second offense, you're getting kicked out of Discord.
You're next. That's it. Well, very good, Leia. So we're wrapping up the test portion of the show. I appreciate you doing that.
Mm-hmm.
So we're flipping it over to Leia's question corner. And Leia does have a question. And this is actually a question that is really a question by proxy.
I saw it on the Ham Radio Crash Course Facebook page. Mm-hmm. And it made me go, huh.
Yeah. So this one's going to require a link in the description for full details if somebody wants to go down that route. But I found an amazing document that explains this. So the question was, can a felon get an amateur radio license?
Yes.
Which has come up multiple times. I've fielded these questions before. So the answer is yes, but sometimes no.
Depends on the offense?
Pretty much, yeah.
Okay, makes sense.
So there's some quotes to go along with this, and I don't want to read a whole lot, but this is like FCC quotes, so it's really boring to read. But applicants are required to answer the question, and they're talking about the licensing, if they are filing an application for a new license, an application to modify, or blah, 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 an existing license or an amendment. If the answer to the felon question is yes, the applicant must attach an exhibit a statement explaining the circumstances and giving reasons why the applicant believes the grant of the application would be in the public interest, notwithstanding the misconduct.
Huh.
So what's really interesting about this document I found is that it's actually kind of a document that sources multiple felons that have applied, and they were kind of open about what they did and if they passed or didn't pass.
How would the FCC know if you lied, though?
I mean, they're connected to the background check database. They can just look you up.
Do they do that before you get your license?
Well, hang on to your butts, because we're going to go ahead and talk into this a little bit. So let's see. There's a whole lot of this, but basically the point is that, and I'm not going to try and replicate this here because it's going to take too long, but you generally have to have a letter of explanation, and the link that I will post is to this, it's a Google document.
Wow.
That covers a lot of this. And I want to try and find where they, so he said, okay, so 123 applicants were received between 7th of and 6th December of 2017 and flagged because the applicant answered yes to the felon question. 95 of the applicants were new license, 25 of the flagged applicants were license modification, one flag was the renewer of license, and then this is where we break down the crimes. 76 of the applicants have been granted out of that original set. 64, and I'm not going to go into the dates, but granted applicants included applicants convicted of various crimes, including but not limited to the following: vehicular manslaughter, use of drugs, sale of drugs, theft, DUI, illegal hunting, which is
illegal
hunting.
Wait, they were
hunting.
Given licenses
yes,
or not?
All these people got licenses.
Okay.
Illegal hunting.
Okay.
Poaching is what we call that.
Mm-hmm.
Failure to secure a weapon. All those people got
their license.
Wait,
you can get in trouble for not getting your weapon?
I've got it in my holster. It's right here. It's secure. Secured in my holster. Second Amendment protects it.
And no, what loaded. Does that mean? What does that
and it's
mean?
It's loaded.
To fail to secure
of
your weapon.
Of course I have protection. I got my 9mm automatic, baby.
Oh, man, you're really dating yourself. Nobody even knows about Mike Myers anymore.
After the love guru? But here's where we get to the deeper parts of this. So there's, of course, a listing of who didn't get.
Juicy tea. Bring it.
Yeah, hold on. I gotta
spill,
find it.
Or, I'm sorry, spill the tea.
Spill the tea. This is not good tea. 76 flagged applicants have been granted. Oh, I got that. Where is it? Oh, okay.
It was like the FCC is not good at math.
17 flagged applicants remained as pending.
They didn't even reject them. They're just like, you're going to be...
We don't want to touch this. This is a little naughty.
This is icky.
11 applicants, according to visible exhibits involving sex-related crimes, and then open paren, e.g. child porno, molestation... sex with a minor, etc., close paren.
You literally cannot have people convicted of anything pedophile related when you have jamboree on the air.
Yeah, no, impossible.
That's, yeah, you cannot do that.
Second bullet. Presumably, but unconfirmed, the other six confidential exhibits also involve sex related crimes.
That makes sense.
So this goes all the way up to vehicular manslaughter, and they're still giving people
licenses.
Well,
I mean, vehicular manslaughter is no intention to kill.
But you could have been drunk.
Sure, but if you remove drinking from ham radio, who's left? I'm just kidding.
Wow.
I'm just kidding.
Whoa.
There's
usually
a lot.
It's me that pushes the line. That was, whoa.
No, there's
whoa.
A lot of people who don't because we get messages about that.
What?
About how they don't want to associate ham radio and drinking. I literally said that because of those messages.
Like, you get them?
No, you get them.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, it sounds like if it's getting into, like, sexual abuse area, that those people generally can't get their license.
Yeah, you don't want people luring other people to sex crimes using ham radio.
I really have to consider one of the memes I have now, which is a dude... that has like a head, he has like a headphones on, and it's like 12 minutes into QSO and chill, and he gives you this look.
What?
and good for Pod, I gave her a look.
What?
Because, you know, it's like Netflix and chill, but QSO and chill.
Yeah, I get that.
Okay. Anyway, so yes, felons can get their license.
Depending on what you did.
Depending on what you did. And of course, you're going to have a statement that goes along with it. Now, I will say that on that document, the document actually calls out the volunteer examiners that were, all the volunteer examiners were involved in this case study that this person
really?
Did. Yeah. So GLARG, ARRL, et cetera, all the rest, they were all inclusive of this. And they generally work with people to get their get them their licenses.
I want to know how other hams feel about this.
Okay. So email Leah at hamtactical.com if you have thoughts about felons getting their license.
Yeah.
I think that... So I think people make mistakes, and I think people obviously do time. And mm-hmm. if we have any faith in our, you know, rehabilitation system, then at some point we have to say this person has done their time and then they can go back to society with as many rights as, you know, we can give.
Sure. Meanwhile, we have a DA that was just elected in LA County that has done away with cash bail.
Yeah. California is an interesting place. So, but we won't talk about that anymore. The show topic of today is...
Oh my God, we still have a show topic.
Everything is pretty awesome.
Everything is awesome when you're part of a ham radio team.
So I wanted to make this, and I didn't expect that the front half of this episode would be so long, but I guess it's fitting because I don't know how long-winded I can be on this topic. But we live in a world now, and we've been saying it, I've been saying it for a long time, it's never been a better time to be a ham radio operator because the gear we have access to is like the best gear you can get.
Isn't
like,
that true every year?
I mean, yes, technically. But like the advancements that have been made, like what we've been talking
There's
about.
There's never been a better time to be alive. We have the iPhone 12 Pro Max.
Right. But if you think about that, like we are co-opting technology like that. We're using tablets that talk to Raspberry Pis to talk to our radio. Mm-hmm. We're using the best laptops to talk to our radio to do mm-hmm. digital and all that stuff. But then the radios alone themselves, if you're just considering the radios, there's never been better radios made to date. And yes, I appreciate that like every year, everything gets better.
Yeah, okay. All right. I'm just saying.
I get that. But the point here is that like everything's pretty good.
Yeah.
Like
And it's going to be stuck here for a while because a chip manufacturer burnt down.
AKM in Japan. Press F to pay respects. So the point of this, though, is that like regardless of which radio you buy, it's generally a good radio. It's going to do what it is that you wanted it to do.
Is it, though?
The caveat of that would be like towards the lower end, the Baofeng
because
side of the house.
Because haven't you seen a massive influx of like very poorly made Baofeng ripoffs?
No, I haven't actually. I haven't. The Baofeng clones, as they're called, have generally been the same quality as a Baofeng.
Really?
Yeah, they're not like cheaper quality. They're just like... It's really a rebranded Baofeng that is being sold with another like brand on it to try and differentiate itself.
Okay.
From Baofeng. But the point, like, let's look away from the Baofengs for a second. Go up to HF radio.
Never.
Yeah. Go up to HF radios for a second. Like, our like base level, like, really, really good radio that you can just buy for like $1,000, right? The Icom 7300 is in the top 20 of the Sherwood Report. And I don't know if I've mentioned the Sherwood Report. There's a gentleman.
Is it written by Robin Hood?
I think his first name is Rob, actually.
Wow.
Rob Sherwood, I think. I could be wrong. But Sherwood puts out this report, and he has a complex rating system.
With his wife, Marion.
Yes.
Okay.
And they have these, he has all kinds of this bench equipment that will test radios out for their ability to receive signals. And he will rank them on the top of the line, purest receive capable radios all the way down. You know, it goes decades in the past, basically, mm-hmm. at this point. The 7300 is in the top 20. And I argue that at the top 20, human beings can't really tell the difference that much. There's like there is a difference, but like you can't pull that much out, right?
Okay. Except for super hams.
Contesters like get into a situation where they will need that, but that requires internal hardware that's not in most radios, kind of thing.
Okay.
Different kind of deal. But if you're spending $1,000 or $3,000, $4,000, you're getting all good stuff regardless of what brands you're talking about. All the brands make really good radios now. I'm not brand loyal to like Yaesu or Icom or, you know, any of the major brands, Elecraft,
that's
whatever.
Really going to disappoint some people.
Maybe. But I like all their stuff. I think that all their stuff has, you know, they make some things better than other things, but their radio capability is fantastic. Generally across the board, they'll all do the right job of receiving and transmitting. They will have quirks and differences that you will like, and that will make you a fan of that brand, right? Because they have certain menu options, certain interface controls that you're like, yes, that's what I'm about. I'm going to do that kind of thing. And that's the radio I want to do, right?
Okay.
But the fact remains that the capability that it is a radio, the ability it is to be a radio, it's like the best time ever.
It's the best time to be a ham radio.
Best time to be.
Period.
Period. It'll never get better from here.
No, I said be a ham radio, not even operator.
Just a ham radio. Yeah.
Just be a ham radio. Mm-hmm.
Now, to kind of add to that point a bit, I did put a radio in front of me because I've been playing around with it a little bit, and we've talked about, you know, Chinese radios for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
We already mentioned the Baofengs. The radio I have in front of me is a Wushun radio. It is a KGUV9D Mate
with an Abri on top.
I put an Abri on it. What color is this radio?
Orange.
Bright orange. So the UV9D, they make a couple different models of this. The Mate version is a 10 watt output radio. So this radio, I haven't made a video on it yet. I've been playing around with it for the last like week or so. It's fantastic.
I know you have actually raved about this radio to me, who does not care.
It's it's $150. I'm not affiliated with anybody that sells this. It's a really good radio. Chinese made. Still really, really good. So we've entered into this kind of interesting space where you...
It sounds like what you're saying is you've entered into a space where the Chinese manufacturers, the Chinese inexpensive manufacturers, have caught up.
Maybe a little bit. Maybe a little bit.
That's tough.
Well, you have to watch my review for all what I have to say about it. It's not all great, but it's really quite impressive.
Either that or you have a very low bar for like products like this.
I don't think so. Because
yeah,
what I'm comparing it to is like my first radio.
Okay.
So I've got a lot of like first radio love.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like there's a lot of things I'm like, yes, this is a good radio. And this is like, oh, this is like kind of an interesting competitor in the space.
Huh.
But the argument of this is like whatever radio you're looking to buy, and I guess I'm repeating myself a lot, so I'll dial it back a little bit. I get a ton of comments all the time, like questioning, should I get this radio or this radio or this radio or this radio? And a lot of the times I appreciate that you're basing it off of like what I'm telling you in a video or my thoughts on the radio. And I appreciate that. I'm trying to provide as much objective thoughts on that as possible.
Yeah, I think your philosophy for reviews is that even if you are not the ham that would use the radio, right, there is a ham.
Right. And I try and dive into what I think that radio, this hypothetical radio, is for. But I guess the point I'm trying to say is I try and look at radios appreciably for what they are, and try and also what they aren't. But I'm finding that like a lot of what makes radios different nowadays is their interface, how you interface with them. And that's kind of hard to show in a video, like how the buttons feel and how the menu system, how deep it is, like how many things you have to go through to make the menu work. That's a kind of subjective thing. Like I might be willing to deal with a much longer menu.
Okay.
Than other people. But when you boil it down to just the radio being like a good radio, they're all pretty good nowadays. And that's fantastic because it means that if you like a certain way a company, radio works, that you will generally be pretty happy with it.
Cool.
So
good time for hams.
Well, that's what I guess that's the point of the podcast.
Yeah, it's just repeating you.
Well, thank you.
Uh-huh.
Took the wind in my sails there a little bit.
I think this is a testament to the fact that we should probably not be drinking hard liquor during the podcast.
Is that what it is? Yeah. Am I just rambling?
No, I think you're fine. I'm used to it.
Okay. That's really what it is, I think. But it is kind of a nuanced point. And I think I just have so many comments, like questions that I get, like, is this a good radio? Is this a good radio? And generally, a lot of my responses to people are...
Yes.
No, it's how much money you're going to spend on it. Like, what's your budget?
Gotcha.
Because at this point, like, depending on what your budget is, I can probably put you on a pretty decent radio that you'd be happy with, commensurate to what you're paying, right? So that leads me to believe that... Well, again, I'll go back a step. Generally, if there is a market where you could walk up with a couple $100, $1,000, multiple $1,000, and walk away with a product that is commensurate to what you're paying, that's a pretty good market. Like, that is a market that has multiple options that are being provided to the consumer. That means there's probably some level of competition. That means there's a level of companies trying to better the equipment they're putting out, or they're trying to tackle a niche within that market to make a compelling product that people will buy.
Okay.
And there are plenty of radios that are out now that both target a specific market, a niche, whether that niche is low cost, contesting, portable operation, you know, whatever it is, the capability is out there and it's all pretty good. Even the kit stuff that people are building.
Yeah, kit stuff.
The radios that are purely kits, that there are, you know, single people, they may be married, I don't know. It's like one human being that has a company is producing a radio.
Maybe multiple human beings. They could have business partners.
Maybe they're polygamous. I don't know.
I was going with business partners? Why did you go polygamy?
I don't know. Like the QCX Mini just got announced.
I'm still stuck on the polygamy.
I don't know.
Are you trying to tell me something?
No.
Okay.
The QCX Mini just came out, right? And it's a super small QCX radio, which is a kit radio. It's QRP radio, right? QRP, right? We love QRP radios.
QRP is for heroes.
That's right. And it is... It's a really good, fantastic radio. It's had nothing but good reviews. And the thing is, like, and the QCX original is like $50, right? And you can go do soda activations with that, all kinds of stuff. And that's just a kit radio. But then you plus that up to, you know, the more expensive brands, the handhelds, and the capabilities you get out of it. So I'll kind of wrap this up with a trailing thought of, it's not so much about picking the right brand and then like, oh, I won because I picked the right brand and they have the solution for all my problems and they're going to give me the best radio that I could ever want. No, it's more likely you considering what you want to do with the radio, what you want, what your operating style is going to be, how you're going to use the radio. Are you going to sit in front of it and, you know, be in your home and just talk? Are you going to go portable? Are you going to do digital with it? Are you going to do satellites with it, right? There's so many different aspects of it.
You're going to EME with it.
You're going to EME if you want the ladies. As we've already covered on this podcast, the only way to get the ladies is EME.
Yeah.
It's really just considering what you want to do, right? And then...
Doing it.
But also, I appreciate that, like, you're not necessarily going to know what you want to do until you get started. Right, so that's also the weird, funky thing about it. It's like, hey, go
that's
buy a radio.
That's why everybody starts with a Baofeng.
So that's why, yeah, that it's still the, you know, cheapest game in the land, and still works, but it's not the best. I think we could say that it's the best for the price, but not the best for quality. But once you get out of that range, stuff gets really good.
Fantastic.
So there it is.
Woot.
Woot?
Whoop.
Woot?
There it is.
A whoop.
Yeah.
And there's a P at the end.
Yes.
Not a hard T. I think we might have crossed the 2-hour mark on this podcast.
Yes.
You don't know why you're
and
saying
no for no.
You're like Ed McMahon over
yeah,
here.
No.
Yes. Ha, ha, ha. Big novelty check. Publishers Clearinghouse.
I could be,
again, dating ourselves.
I could be like the Price
Publishers
is Right guy.
Now just get somebody jumped for COVID.
I could be the Price is Right guy and then just end with spay and neuter your pets, everyone.
Leah, who is the Price is Right guy?
I forget his name.
Are you kidding me?
I'm too many old fashions in.
You've had two.
Yeah.
Two is many. Is what you're saying.
Two, yeah.
Two is many. Not you've had too many.
I know. That is two also is two and then too many.
It's he was in Happy Gilmore.
Mm-hmm.
Another movie quote.
Mm-hmm.
Seriously?
Bob Barker.
Oh,
okay.
Thank you. I knew if I just waited long enough, you'd get it. Man, that's like pretty in like seared into your memory.
He actually molested my speech teacher.
What?
She was like a contestant on the show, and he got super handsy with her. And then he does the thing where he has female contestants kiss him, and he like forcibly kissed her, and I think like tongue.
This is not new. Sometimes on a really crazy note.
This is not new news. This is like something Bob Barker is actually known for.
Was he canceled? Did he get canceled?
No, he was already gone before cancel culture.
Drew Carey picked it up.
Drew Carey's fine. Doesn't touch people.
Probably smart in this day and age. Wow, Leah, that's some hot.
Yeah, my high school speech teacher.
A little hot goss there at the end. Wow.
What's also interesting about my high school speech teacher is amazing. Her husband was like a part of the production crew for Married with Children.
Okay.
And also her father, who was also a teacher at my high school or a substitute teacher, has a Trivial Pursuit card named after him. Like the question is,
Bob's card.
What did so-and-so win an award for in some year?
Oh, a proper question. Okay.
And it is looking most like his dog. He has like super curly hair. He looks like a poodle, and he has a poodle at the same color hair.
This is your speech teacher?
My speech teacher's father, who was a substitute at the school.
Why did you have to take speech? Were you ASL?
No, it was like a public speaking.
Public speaking.
Yeah.
Not speech.
Well, it was called speech. So you'd do speeches.
And this was in high school?
Yeah.
Who did that in high school?
Like only the cool kids, obviously.
Leia is also the kid who had like, you walked out of high school with like half your college done.
Not half, my first year.
I would say that's still a lot.
College, for me it was 3 years because I had the four. So 25%, let's be accurate.
But when did you walk out of high school?
I was 17.
You were 17.
When I left for college.
So you're already a year kind of early.
Mm-hmm.
And then you walk into college.
Yeah, you couldn't tell by how I'm doing on the ham radio test.
No.
This is actually, I don't know if everybody can understand.
You're the smartest dumb person that's ever taken this test.
I don't know if everybody can understand this, but it actually pains me when I see the word failed, like on a test. So I do this out of love for
Josh. We can't tell
Josh
your parents about this.
And all
we
of you.
We can't tell your parents about
oh,
this.
Oh, no. They'll put me in tutoring.
Your husband apparently can't tutor you.
I mean, they understood. That's like when there was a subject that I knew that I needed to like do really well in. I think I want to say in like freshman year of high school, I was like, Mom and Dad, I need SAT lessons. Like, I always told them exactly what classes I need, whereas my brother was just in tutoring all the time for everything. Like,
how about your sister?
She had like almost a private on-call tutor because of her softball.
Oh, yeah.
She was like always doing sports. And then it was just between tournaments and coaching. Mm-hmm. If she could fit it in, she would go into a tutor that would help her power through her work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pretty interesting. Different world.
A different world than what?
Where I grew up. How I grew up. I didn't do the academics so much. I did, to a certain point. On the stuff I cared about.
But look at how much you know about ham radio now.
I know, it's crazy. And I'm an engineer, so that's fun. How'd that work out? You know, it's more about, like, I just got really focused on what I care about.
Yeah.
I like speech class, but, you know.
Yeah, sure, you don't need it.
I'm pretty
You're a good
outspoken,
speaker. Yeah.
I guess, yeah.
All right.
All right, so that's long enough. I think the old fashions have kicked in fully.
Yes.
So
have fun reading the show notes after this.
Yeah, I don't know what that's going to look like. I'm going to try to edit this all together. I don't know what's going to happen. Well, thank you so much for listening. This is the Ham Radio Crash Course podcast. Please subscribe on the YouTube, because there are people who are finding the podcast first and don't know about the YouTube channel. So please go check that out.
I'm not on the YouTube channel for all of those people who have gone to.
You're not there for the people that watch the video. You're there for the people that listen to the podcast.
Yeah.
Which is fun.
I've seen the funniest comments in the live stream chat.
And there are people in the video stream chat that are like, I don't know what are they talking about? Because they don't listen to the podcast.
Yeah.
It's a whole world they don't know about. Anyway, thanks so much for listening, and we will talk to you next week. 73.
73.